prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Folks, welcome. This is Pastor Butch Paul. You're listening to Financial Survival. It is 11 October 2023. And as usual, Wednesdays, I start the broadcast off with our guest, Wendy Wilson. And the second half of the program, second third of the program, we have the boss joining us, Melly Cedarstrom joining us, the Gold Diva. So she'll be calling us a little bit to bring us up some updates on things, too. But we got a lot of news coverage this afternoon. And as always, we have an interesting topic coming from Wendy Wilson. So before we do that, let's get to the markets and the metals. What do you say? All the markets basically were up but one. In the U.S., all were up, but just slightly. The Dow was up 42 to 33,781. NASDAQ was up 82 to 13,645. S&P was up 15 to 4,373. FTSE was down 0.151% to 17,876. DAX was up 0.24%. 15,460. Nikkei was up 0.60 to 31,936. Hang Seng was up 1.29% to 78,893. It's amazing. Nothing phases the markets. Worldwide, there's just very little fluctuation. Amazing. USDX was down 0.07 to 10,576. 10-year yield was down 0.076 to 4.579. Oil was down again, surprisingly, 202 to 83.95. I'm amazed that oil is coming down. Well, it's out in the Middle East. You'd think it'd be going up, but nothing works like I think it should anyway. It's really different. Now, the metals. I'll do the metals. I should have got those first, maybe. The metals are looking good. All metals but one are up today. Gold was up almost $14, 1370 to 1873.40. Silver was up 21 cents to 2204. Platinum was up $7 to $8.88. Palladium was down $3 to $11.50. So metals are gaining ground, especially gold and silver going back up again. I don't know how long they're going to climb before we see another little punch on them. But, folks, they're going to climb. You can take that to the bank. It's going to happen. Well, let's go to our guest, as always, Wendy Wilson. Always an interesting lady to listen to. She's got a topic today I think you're going to find creepy and interesting. Wendy, welcome.
Well, thank you, Pastor Butch. Always great to be with you and all the listeners. I think we'll hit the ground running today because we're going to talk about the scientific community is moving very quickly to remodel medicine and in the process remodel man. So the scientists in Denmark, they published a report in October.
Well, let me ask you one question, Wendy. Yeah. Will it make me prettier?
Well, that's more cosmetic surgery, Pastor Butch.
Okay. All right.
We're going to be on a cellular level today.
Okay.
So, So here we are with Denmark. They published a report this month, October 2023, on the plans that science is looking to achieve within medicine in the near future. So according to the report, the human body will be installed with a new, quote, life form completely different from our natural form or born system, and it's going to offer, quote, a unique control system. So we're talking about artificial life to change man with hybrid nanostructures. Here's
that
a quote
sounds,
from...
That sounds so exciting, doesn't it? Go ahead.
Oh, well, this is the Journal of Cell Reports and Physical Science. They said, creating artificial life is a recurring theme both in science and in literature. So if you feel science is kind of taking a page from sci-fi literature, you're not alone. The creepy and bizarre is becoming a reality within our scientific medicine. So this is kind of a new field in science, Pastor Butch. The physics and chemistry scientists at Southern Denmark University, along with scientists at Kent State University in Ohio, they have developed a special artificial hybrid molecule to lead their creation of artificial life forms. So when I read this kind of research, it's kind of like a flashback to the canteen scene in the Star Wars movie where half human, half animal aliens are drinking beverages and they're considered normal. So this research did get published in the October 2023 Journal of Cell Reports and Physical Science. So apparently this is groundbreaking research, and it's a new field within science called hybrid peptide DNA nanostructures. And when we say new field, it means science has been kind of behind the scenes dabbling in this new creation field for about 10 years. And by the way, you may not have to volunteer for them to test you. According to the lead scientist, the population may be treated with these new hybrid peptide DNA nanostructures without even their knowledge. This is from the lead chemist, Cheng Kang Lu, professor, Department of Physics, Chemistry at University of Southern Denmark. He says, this research will help create viral vaccines with modified viruses and artificial life forms that can help diagnose and treat disease. So they're going to include them in your virus vaccines. Wow. Of course, you know, to soften this creepy aspect of this thing, Professor Liu says this new creation life force will be, quote, an enemy to disease causing viruses. So it's supposed to protect you, Pastor Butch. You see this? And
that's,
my question is, what is it going to do to your immune system that is quite capable of fighting a virus? So it's quite invasive. The new hybrid peptide DNA nanostructure life forms will offer additional capability to science. Here's what Dr. Liu says. He says, I envision the artificial life forms can act as vaccines against viral infection and can be used as nanobots and nanomachines loaded with medications or diagnostic elements and sent into a patient's body. And no doubt, such medical technology will also come with monitoring capabilities, so no patient will have an excuse not to take their prescribed medicine. And you may be wondering, how soon is this going to come about? Well, according to the research team, we are on the precipice of having artificial cells in medical treatments, and science has nothing standing in their way to bring this to market. Here's Dr. Liu again. He says, an artificial viral vaccine may be about 10 years out. An artificial cell, on the other hand, is on the horizon because it consists of many elements that need to be controlled before we can start building them. But with the knowledge that we have now, there is in principle no hindrances to produce artificial cellular organisms in the future. So there's nothing standing, no hindrances standing in their way. And some people may think that, you know, cyborgs or animal and human hybrid creations are fascinating, but I think it's folly. And science is doing this for financial reasons and a lot of control. This is Cell Reports Physics Science Journal of October this year. They said the DNA technology and peptide technology are the two most powerful molecule tools in the nanotechnological toolkit. A DNA technology provides precise control over programming from the atomic level to the macro level. So you talk about total system control on a person. Isn't that blowing your mind?
That really is, and we know this has got to, well, I don't even know how to even say it. This is mad science.
Yeah. Well, the Cell goes on to report, peptide technology, on the other hand, can provide a lot of sufficient chemical function on a large scale with 20 amino acids that it can work with. Nature uses both DNA and peptides to build various protein factories found in cells. Now, remember, I've told you proteins are switches. They're controlling switches to control cell function. So, and they can use this now to evolve their artificial life organisms. And this is a global endeavor, Pastor Butch. It's being done on a global scale. And there seems to be a race to the finish for scientists or a team of scientists to be able to patent their new life form. Nature Communications said this: elsewhere in the world, other researchers are also working on connecting DNA and peptides because the connection forms a strong foundation for the development of new, more advanced biological entities and life forms. We see this in Oxford University in the UK. They're doing it. Researchers at Oxford have succeeded in building the nanomachine made of DNA and peptides. Get this, it can drill through a cell membrane, creating an artificial membrane channel through which small molecules can pass. I don't know about you, but I'm going to skip the drill. I don't think I'm doing it. Right. And then similar work at Arizona State University. This is where Professor Nicholas Stephanopoulos and his team have established a DNA and peptides that can self-assemble into 2D and 3D structures. Woo! And then, of course, this is Dr. Liu again. He says, looking forward, I will not be surprised that one day we can arbitrarily create hybrid nanomachines, viral vaccines, and even artificial life forms. And this is a revolution in healthcare, he says. Well, is science revolving around the core of medicine making their own evolution, or is science revolting against traditional medicine and its core standards? What does he mean by that? I personally think that genetically modifying man, trying to recreate him, isn't the way to go. It kind of reminds me of the Nazis, right? Remember the Nazis?
Yeah, probably worse, yes.
Okay, so the Lancet Journal chimed in December 2004 on this kind of thing. They said this: the atrocities of Nazi medicine, as well as the conditions that made them possible, are even today a topic of heated debate among historians and bioethicists. Proponents of various positions often refer to the Nazi period in discussion on ethics of research on human subjects. The Nuremberg Medical Trial of 1946 and 47 and the ensuing Nuremberg Code addressed in particular the absence of consent for those involved in research in Nazi experiments, and as a consequence formulated the principle of informed consent for the first time on an international level. This topic is relevant today, suggesting implications relevant to today's debates on ethics of research involving human beings. So they were kind of, you know, waving the flag. You know, science is going off the rails again. So in the Nazi era, no ethical or legal regulations existed. Today, the ethics are kind of treated as suggestions, as there is really no significant consequences when the rules are broken. So pro-genetic sympathizers take the stand that the DNA changes will cure disease. However, that is not guaranteed, and unintended consequences could result. The Lancet also added, the historical experience strongly suggests the necessity of setting clear limits on research involving human beings. The impetus to produce new knowledge and the interests of society or of potential future patients are legitimate considerations, but these must not take priority over the research subject's free will and well-being. Finally, such regulations should be linked to forceful sanctions in case of violation. And we don't have that right now. We've just got policy. There's no, you know, legal team that can kind of, you know, say here this law was broken or that law was broken, because, you know, they're kind of, you know, regulating themselves right now. This is scary. I'm just really praying the Lord puts a stop to it, because it's becoming more important, I think, now more than ever, that, you know, we have a better understanding, and we need to be more proactive in looking after our health. So I'm calling it self-care. You know, we're really going to have to exercise that. So now's the time to learn how to use optional therapies outside of modern medicine. So with your drug shortages creating risk to be on a lifelong drug, that's kind of precarious. You know, if you're on, you know, metabolic drugs like cardio drugs, diabetic drugs, and there's shortages and there's no replacements, what are you going to do?
That's a good question.
And then you've got experimental treatments. You don't want to sign up for that because there's nothing else. You want to investigate your options now and be prepared. Remember the Bible says, be prepared to stand in the evil day. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
So it's real important. It's sort of like, you don't learn to shoot the gun during the war. You learn before. You got to have a defense. And the medical side is no different than, you know, having, you know, water and food and shelter and defense. You also have you need to have backup medicinals. You really do. So I hope that segment kind of put the hair on the back of your neck standing up, because that's what it's supposed to do, because it's really a shot across the bow.
And you know, this used to be things you know was discussed in science fiction, then discussed rarely in the past. But in the last 20 years or so, this is going to be an everyday occurrence.
Well, remember we talked about globsters. You know, they've been doing this for over a decade, you know, offshore, because when we did have politicians and ethicists step up and scream about this, then, you know, some of these scientists, you know, got a little nervous. And so they rented a research vessel and went offshore and did all that stuff. But now they're bold, just like everything else you're seeing on, you know, the evil side. They're getting bold and they're just doing it outright. And what are you going to do about it is the attitude. And science is saying, well, it's for, you know, supposedly defeating disease. Well, we heard this with antibiotics. There would be no more infectious bacteria. And what did we get? We got more infectious bacteria. We got more resistant bacteria. So those promises are just marketing slogans, really. So, and there's unintended consequences when you start messing with genetics, you start messing with DNA, you start messing with God's copyright, you're going to have problems.
Yes, you are. You certainly are.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, nature, viruses and different things will change themselves to adapt to what you're trying to kill them with. That's just what happens.
Right, so, and that's usually what you see. You see, you know, that mutation and adaption of the bacteria or the virus. But you know what? Those types of infections don't have a chance against your immune system, you know, or even from medicinal herbs, because, you know, they haven't been really exposed to any of that for a long time. So people need to, you know, put their confidence, I think, in God's promise, where he said herbs are here for the service of man and the healing of the nations. Healing means putting you back into your original wellness.
Yes.
That's what a cure really is.
Yes.
How many people today can say that that's what their, you know, MD doctor is doing when they're on drugs for the rest of their life? That's not your original wellness. That's not a cure. That's managing symptoms. That's what
that's
is.
Very true. That's very
so
true.
It's a different philosophy. So I tell people, you know, really investigate your option, whether that's going to a really great naturopath or, you know, making sure you're getting whole food organic supplements instead of synthetic ones. You know, it's time to step up the game. It really is.
Well, you know, and the responsibility really is in our hands. That's just, we have to admit that and we have to accept that. That's a little tough when you don't know much about anything about science and body. But we have to, this
right.
is where it's our responsibility to figure it out and call people like you and ask, what can we do?
Yeah, right. And that's what we're here for. We like to educate our consumers at Apothecary Herbs, and you get info sheets with each product, and it tells you a little bit more about theirs. And we have product support, so you can always email or call and ask questions. So basically, it's, you know, get your feet wet. It's, you know, and get some confidence using these natural tools and be empowered, because I've seen miracles happen, you know, with God's herbs.
Absolutely.
That's the only way to describe it as a miracle is God. He gets all the credit every day, all the time. So
give
if
us
anybody
your phone
would
number
like,
and stuff.
Yeah. We have a free catalog. They can give us a call at 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663. 929-3663. International is 828-469-5972. And, of course, they can reach us on thepowerherbs.com, thepowerherbs.com, and definitely check us out online.
Wendy, this got to be one of the fastest segments of any broadcast I do. You're interesting. Thank you.
All right. Take care. We'll talk soon.
See
bye-bye.
You next week. Okay. Bye-bye. Folks, back to break. A lot to talk about that's happening in this world today. And, of course, we'll be with Melody Houston, too, so don't y'all go away.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Bethann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Bethann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And if you ask me how I'm feeling, don't tell me you're too blind to see. Never gonna give you up, never gonna let you down, never gonna run around and desert you, never gonna make you cry, never gonna say goodbye, never gonna tell a lie and hurt you. Never gonna give you up, never gonna let you down, never gonna
All righty, folks, we are back, and we'll be joined now by Melody Cederstrom, the head of Discount Gold and Silver, the one that pays for this program, and actually pays for my shortwave time at nights when I'm on my broadcast on 6115 at 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern. That's a good plug for my show. I'm getting better at this. I really am. But anyway, you give her a call at 800-375-4188 and talk about metals with her a little bit. Metals are going back up again. They took a hit. Now they're regaining ground. What's going to happen tomorrow? Only God knows for sure, folks. But the world is a very stressed place right now. It seems like the markets all the world are immune to it, but it won't last forever that way. Melody, I'm glad you're with us. Come on in and say something.
Really? Hi.
Yeah, yeah.
Hello.
What's
well,
on
you know,
your
it's
mind
true.
Today?
Well, you know, we did see a little bit of a rebound in gold and silver, but a lot of that was due to, you know, what is happening in Israel. And by all times, I remember when we'd have this situation, gold really should be up about $1,000 right about now. But it's coming, folks. But I think so, you know, if we have a little bit of a pullback, that's okay. But it certainly has gone up quite a bit. And it's up another $14 today with silver up 23 cents. Silver's back up 22, over 22. So, you know, so many times we focus on the price of gold. The trend is strong. I mean, it's not going to change. It's going to go up. It's going to go down. It's going to go up. It's going to go down. Fluctuates just like any investment tool does. So you can't focus on that. You focus on what you're doing. You're focusing on replacing those worthless dollars into real money. You're protecting it the best way you know how. The best way I know how. Because what else is there? That's the question. What else is there? And when somebody can bring me an answer to that question, you know, then I might change my view that gold and silver is the best thing that you can have to protect your assets as we're going through these times. And I'll tell you what, it's interesting to watch this thing unfold. I know you want to talk about a lot of it, but it's interesting to see this unfold in Israel and how much control they have over the power, over the water, over electricity, over energy, over oil. And so all governments have control over that. So don't be fooled. So just think where you're at. And if everything suddenly was taken off for access, where would you be? What would you do? Think about it. And it's an interesting whenever anybody's trying to figure something out, I will always tell them, figure out the worst case scenario. What is the worst case scenario? That's what you protect against. Do worst case scenarios always happen? No, they don't. But it's a good place to start, and it's a good place for you to figure out what you can and can't do. Base it on worst case scenario, because if worst case scenario happens, you're good. And if it doesn't happen, you're good. That's the whole point. And all the decisions that you make in protecting your financial purchasing power and your assets will be protected to the best that we know how. The best that you know, basically God has given us. So.
Good point. Good point. So, and you're right. There's a lot going on. Now, the article I want to share with Michael Snyder, just the biggest portion of it in a minute. But, you know, we have been so protected here, I guess you could say, in this country, Millie, for so long that almost everyone that we know, everyone that I know, has a place to sleep at night. Maybe it's not a fancy place, but they got a place to sleep and food on the table and some clothes on their back. And everyone that I know personally has that. It may be given to them by friends that are trying to help them out, and I do know people like that, but that's still okay. They got a place to sleep and food to eat, and they have electricity in the house and different things or whatever. But what if, and not, it's not only if, but when, what are you going to do when something like this hits us, Melody, U.S.? Well, if they would hit the power grid, you know, a year or so ago, shooting up transformers in power stations in North Carolina and places like that. You remember that?
I do.
What if somebody would hit a power grid and knock it down for a segment of the country? I mean, these are things that we don't really think about a whole lot, but what if? And I'm not just saying that to scare people. I mean, what if? Because it's going to happen. I don't know when, but it's going to happen.
Well, it's the same thing as the worst case scenario.
Exactly.
We don't know if it's going to happen. We don't know if it would happen to the worst case, but that's what you prepare for. I mean, you don't have to go crazy, but prepare your family. You can't compare your family and you preparing for worst case scenario to your neighbors. And you know, because everybody's different. Believe it or not, we're different. So we have different situations. You know, someone might be on major medication. Someone might, you know, have. So these are the things that you have to think about. And just, I mean, as much as we hope and pray that things don't accelerate to that degree, you know, we still have to prepare, Butch.
Yes, we do. We truly do. And again, folks, I just tell you that I've always tried to teach my boys this: err to the cautious side. You know, it's if you went to the cautious side a little more than you needed to, so what? You didn't lose anything. Think it through. And I taught my boys four words all their lives. Four words: when in doubt, don't. If you're not sure they're doing something right, don't do it. But when you make your mind up, do it. So prepare yourself and get ready to do it the best way you can to prepare yourself what's coming. Don't take a chance on the future as far as you depend on your job even. It could end. But anyway, the article here by Michael Snyder, Melody's, an absolutely massive Israeli ground invasion of Gaza appears to be imminent. Now, and we'll discuss this in more detail, but, you know, they've already shut the power off in Gaza. The food supply has been shut off. Everything's happened. And there's 2.5 million people living in that little 5 to 25 mile strip of land. I mean, there's a lot of people live there. And this, I don't care whose side you're on. I'm not picking sides. Innocent people are suffering. Big time. When you watch your child dying or getting killed or what it may be in a battle or just starving death, this is not something that I don't think any of us even want to even consider in our own lives. But folks, we should consider others who are going through this right now. 50 years ago, the Yom Kippur War began. Israel is at war again, and preparations are being made right now for an absolutely massive ground invasion of Gaza. Now, folks, Gaza is not that big an area, but it's full of 2.5 million people. According to Google, the Yom Kippur War started on October 6, 1973. The war with Hamas started on October 7, 2023. And it could quickly evolve into a major regional war as more parties get involved. And we'll share in a minute, more parties are already involved. Syria and Lebanon are already involved. Once Israeli troops pour into Gaza, the dominoes will start falling very quickly. Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu will be the one that makes the final decision on the ground invasion of Gaza, and he very much sounds like a man that's made up his mind. Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu vowed Monday to change the Middle East in Israel's war with Palestine. Palestinian militant group Hamas, as the army pounds the Gaza Strip with airstrikes. What Hamas will experience will be difficult and terrible. We're going to change the Middle East, not you told officials visiting Jerusalem from the country's south, where Hamas militants carried out a surprise attack on Saturday morning. This is only the beginning. We are all with you, and we'll defeat them with force, enormous force. At this hour, a siege of Gaza has already begun as the IDF makes final preparation for a ground campaign. That means that there will be no electricity, no food, and no fuel for those living in Gaza until the war is done. No electricity, folks, no food, and no fuel. Put yourself in that place. Think about that. It could happen here. This morning, Israel imposed a complete siege on the area, including a sweeping ban on food and fuel moving into Gaza and an immediate cutoff of the water supply. There'll be no electricity, no food, no fuel, and everything is closed, Defense Minister Yoav Gallant said. We are fighting human animals, and we act accordingly. Needless to say, many of those living in Gaza will soon become extremely hungry. And I got a comment here, and this always hits me. We are fighting human animals that act accordingly. Are 18-month-old children human animals? Are babies human animals? I mean, I'm not... What do they know what this is all about? How do they know what this is all about? It's been going 4,000 years from the seed of Abraham with Ishmael and Isaac. It's getting worse. It's prophesied, but it's getting worse. Among the 500 targets hit overnight were 8 Hamas and Palestinian Islamic Jihad war rooms, a building housing Hamas operatives, several high-rise towers housing Hamas assets, a command center used by a senior officer in Hamas naval forces, an operational asset used by Hamas, located within a mosque in the Jabalia, an asset used by a terror group of intelligence, and 3 tunnels in the Beit Hanan area north in Gaza. Of course, this is only the beginning. Hundreds of thousands of troops are being mobilized, and they will possess enough firepower to absolutely flatten Gaza. IDF are amassing their 173,000 troops, including 8,000 elite commandos, along with 300 tanks and plenty of heavy weaponry on the border with Gaza in the town of Sarat. A further 300,000 reserve troops have been mobilized in an unprecedented movement sent south ahead of the possible invasion. The Israelis will not be mobilizing all these troops if they do not plan to do something with them. That's very true and very scary. Melody?
You know, I mean, there's no doubt that, you know, this is going to continue until, Netanyahu feels that it's over. And, you know, it's interesting because I was watching, yeah, CNN, sometimes they have good coverage on instances like this. And they were talking about how a lot of the Palestinians were going down to the, I guess it would be the southern border of the Gaza area, to the Egyptian border. And at that point in time, Egypt still hadn't opened the border to them. So, and then that's where all the heavy artillery was being hit this morning, was, you know, near Gaza. So don't know what happened. And we'll never get numbers on how many people have been killed and so forth. And but yeah, it's interesting, Butch, because, you know, I mean, I understand Israel fighting back, and they need to, they should, they, you know, it is, you know, hey, you come into my country, you start bombing the United States. Yes, I want the United States to respond. I don't care who it is. Right?
I agree. Yeah, I agree.
So to that degree, you know, but I think the part that bothers me the most is they speak with, I don't know, maybe I just don't have hate in my heart, but they speak with the amount of hate to destroy all of them. You know, without thinking, just like if Mexico bombed us and we decided to go and bomb, you know, we still know that there's people. We're, and a lot of these people, again, that are so willing to go in there and wipe everybody out, they're the first ones to talk about humanitarian issues. Yeah, and I don't understand either. I mean, you've got a lot of people in this country that are praising what they've done, the Palestine, you know, the Hamas,
and vice versa.
And well, to some degree, they're fighting back to what initially, as far as now. Again, I'm going to say this: my own personal opinion. I do believe Israel. You can't tell me that their intelligence misread the signs. That's their excuse. Yeah. They misread the signs. They have the top Mossad intelligence agency in the world, and they, oh, excuse me, we misread them, their chatter between themselves. We thought they were just doing exercises. It's like, are you kidding me? So I get that part. So I get where it all started, but still. And it's, you know, I'm like you, Butch. It's disturbing to just know that people are just being wiped out.
Well,
wiped out.
They are being wiped out, and both and being tainted over the years of watching things happen, knowing that every war has been instigated by world leaders, and they work together to cause these wars. I really feel for the people on both sides, in Germany, and World War II, and in France. All these people, the people living in the houses, eating a piece of bread for breakfast, was not wanting to go to war. These are things that they're instigated by higher up, but nonetheless, the casualties are still there. Military casualties and civilian casualties. Now,
and
finally,
you know what?
Go ahead.
And you know what? I was reading, there was a brief history of Gaza, 75 years of woe. And, you know, because I really don't, you know, I don't follow their history. But, the Palestinian people, all they really wanted was a place of their own. It's all the Hamas, it's these insurgents, it's these, you know, the military that have just taken it to different levels. And of course, every time that the Palestinian people tried to do something and try to better their economies and so forth, they were always struck down by Israel and so forth. So they, you know, it's, and personally, I believe this is all about the coastline. They want that coastline, what great ports that would make for the wealthy. But anyway,
I think you're hitting that right on the head. But you know that Israel had some of the strictest gun laws in the world until just a couple of days now. They're actually arming civilians, but they're not all civilians. They're arming to civilian security teams. They had that 10,000, they call them assault rifles, AR-15s. They're the civilian security teams. So it's not, they're not arming the citizenry, so to speak, just a select few of them. But and I'll make this comment.
What, who, Israel?
Yeah, Israel, yes. Yes.
Well, see, if they serve in their military, they're always they can always be called back to duty. They're always on standby.
These are civilians. These are armed civilian security teams. Mm-hmm. People that have been somewhat trained to fight, I suppose. You know, the only thing that kept Japan from their own words invading the USA and when he hit Pearl Harbor was that they knew there were guns everywhere in this country. Everybody's armed. I think this would have stopped so damn a lot in Israel if the men people had been armed also. Now they're armed civilians. Civilian security teams. Go ahead, Neil.
Hey, I hear the music, Butch. We'll be right back.
It's a girl, my lord, in a flatbed Ford, slowing down to take a look at me. Come on, baby, don't say baby. I gotta know if your sweet love is gonna save me. We may lose and we may win, but we will never be here again. So open up.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interest of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
One 800 375 4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Give us a call here at Discount Gold and Silver. And of course, visit our website at dgscoins.com. dgscoins.com. And I just wanted to say a couple things here. We did have some inflation numbers come out. We'll try and talk a little bit more about them tomorrow. But let's see. U.S. mortgage rates climbed to a fresh multi-decade high of 7.67%.
Wow.
We had adjustable rate mortgage demand spiked last week, so people are going to adjustable rates to try to get a lower rate. We know what scenario that happens in a few years when they begin to adjust and people can't pay it. Then they lose their home. So it's a bad thing that people are going into the adjustable rate mortgages, but that's all they can do with these higher rates. And wholesale inflation rose 0.5% in September, more than expected. And you know, I think that's pretty much it. And the one headline that cracked me up is used car and airline prices signal inflation is here to stay. And like after COVID, they included used car prices because they jumped, what, 60%? They threw that into the inflation equation. So naturally, if you throw something in that went up 60%, you know it's going to come down. So therefore, we see inflation come down if it has that big of an impact. 60% is a huge increase. And the same way with airline prices. You know, they should be coming down too. So again, that'll all affect, you know, what their little 2% target will get closer to. So it's just a joke. Hey, take away, they took away food, energy, and you use cars out of the equation to get lower rate. I mean, it's just ridiculous. Like, we really need to live on used cars to survive. Cut me a break. Anyway.
Well, I just talked to a lady today that's driving an older model Jeep, and she went so desperate to be able to trade up to a 2012, Melody. That's a 12-year-old car almost. But she's looking for something along those in that year, trying to survive in automobiles because she can't afford anything else.
Yeah.
That's it. It's what it is, folks. Mm-hmm. Death toll in Gaza crosses 1,000, Palestine Health Ministry says. The death toll in Gaza has reached 1,055 after Israeli airstrikes, the Palestine Health Ministry said, per
BBC. That's more than that.
Well,
that's more than that.
That they just say. I just read this, got this offline, but it probably is more than that.
I thought they had over 2,000.
I don't know. This is the one I got this about an hour ago. Two hours ago. Now it may be more than that. Now I'm just saying that 1,000, 2,000 is what it is. But you know, we all just read to you that the Gaza is being plunged into blackout as the power plants run out of fuel and they're not going to get any more of it. Israel's cut that off. That means no hospitals work, no electricity in homes to cook food, to pump gas or anything else. Melody, it's hard for us to understand this. I've had electricity in my homes all my life, haven't you?
Yeah.
Can you imagine if all of a sudden you didn't have that? What we got used to? Oh, my, what if the cell phones didn't work?
Butch, I want to know something. This ramped this up because when Trump was in office, what did they do with Jerusalem?
They moved the embassy there.
Right. And right. Made Jerusalem. What did they turn? I can't think of the right word. How much of that is fueling? I mean, that might have happened in 2018 or 2019, but these guys didn't do this overnight either.
There's been tit for tat on both sides ever since Israel become a nation in 1948.
But that was pretty, and we,
that,
and,
was a, that, was
that
a
really,
move.
That was a huge, that was a huge negative move. Thing. Yes.
It's a huge move. And
but I don't hear anybody bringing that up at all.
No, I haven't either. But again,
and the United, and real quick, the United States has invested more than $400 million in taxpayer funds on development projects inside the Gaza Strip since Hamas took over the territory in 2007. That's according to government funding projects or documents. The U.S. Agency for International Development, the State Department's humanitarian arm, that's a joke, reported spending some $400 million on various development projects in the Hamas-controlled territory since 2009. There you go. Taxpayers' dollars just all going up in smoke.
And I've got to ask, I'm not saying that we shouldn't have done it, but why did we give them the money in the first place?
When President Biden took office in 2021, the United States began pumping millions into the Palestinian territories, including the Gaza Strip. America spent at least $5.5 million in Gaza that year on cash assistance and health care programs, as well as donating $90 million to the United Nations organizations that operate in the area. In 2022, the Biden administration announced an additional $316 million aid package for the Palestinians, including projects in the Gaza Strip that included building 4G wireless networks. Yeah, all those poor people need 4G wireless networks.
Wow.
between 21 and 2020. The Biden administration is slated to spend over $500 million in programming to support the Palestinian people. Well, that's all over.
Yeah, the other again. Now, what good is all that going to do without electricity now? I mean, think about that. I mean, what's good going to do them? But people, we have gotten so I can survive with electricity. I've done with, we've had power off here with because of storms up to like 11, 12 days, and we survived just fine. But what if it turns into 6 or 7 months?
But you know, it's interesting too. The State Department is publicly sidestepping concerns that the aid we sent there was stolen by Hamas. So there you go, more money.
Oh my goodness. Israel reports suspected infiltration from Lebanon into its airspace. Folks, this will not be contained between Gaza and Israel. A report received regarding a suspected infiltration from Lebanon into Israeli airspace, said Defense Minister, the Israel Defense Force said in Post on Post X. Israeli media says that dozens of drones were launched at Israeli civilian centers from southern Lebanon. Several rockets have also been fired recently into Israel from Lebanon, courtesy of Hezbollah. This will not stay there at all. Believe me, folks, this will not stay confined to this one area. This is only the beginning. I'm trying to find the next one we'll get here. Okay, yeah. Shells launched as Israel from Syria, IDF fire its source. The IDF responded with artillery and mortar fire toward the source of the Syrian shelling. The IDF said it was responding to shells fired from Syria into Israel on Tuesday night. Some of the shells most likely landed in open fields in Israel's Golan Heights, the military added. The IDF responded with artillery mortar fire towards the source of the Syrian shelling. Now, folks, Isaiah chapter 17, verse 1 says, in the last days, Damascus will become a ruinous heap. It will be destroyed. Watch prophecy being fulfilled. U.S. sends warships, aircraft carried to Israel for potential support operations. What will happen when America starts shooting rockets into Gaza or other places? What's going to happen with the rest of the world watching America do this? NBC's Pentagon correspondent is reporting that the U.S. military dispatching Navy warships as well as aircraft carriers to waters off Israel as part of support operations. The U.S. military is planning to move the U.S. Navy ships and U.S. military aircraft closer to Israel as a show of support, according to two U.S. officials familiar with the planning. NBC, excuse me. Movements could start immediately, but all the assets will not be in place for several days. Seems that likely in the coming days we'll see an exodus of tens of thousands of tourists, as well as foreign nationals who reside in Israel. Dual Israeli nationals with places to stay abroad will go likely be seeking to get out. If America does do that, folks, if America does get involved, then we will get involved. This will draw more fire from different countries towards us. And good or bad, that's going to happen, whether you like it or don't. Hezbollah threatens to attack U.S. bases if it intervenes in Israel-Hamas war. Leaders of the Hezbollah militia in Iraq has threatened to attack U.S. bases if the U.S. intervenes with the Israel-Hamas war. Our missiles, drones, and special forces are ready to direct qualitative strikes at the American enemy. And this, notice what he said, the American enemy and its bases, and disrupt its interest if it intervenes in this battle. Al-Hamadari said, per Times of Israel, backed by Iran, the group is also threatened to strike targets in Israel. So this melody will not be contained in a little tiny sphere property of Israel and Gaza. This is not going to be contained. This is going to spread across the Middle East. And as soon as we start sending forces in or weapons in or shooting into the area, it's going to just going to spread to other places. As Hezbollah said, they'll go to bases in the other nations. And I would say, I'm going to say this and say very clearly, and I hope I'm wrong, but I think I'm right. We will see this stuff happen in the U.S. also. And I don't think it's weeks away. A couple months, maybe. I don't think, maybe. But we're going to see things start happening here that we hear happening overseas all the time. Terrorist attacks coming to this country. And whether it's planned or not planned, it will make no difference when it happens, folks. When it happens to you, it makes no difference who planned it, who didn't. it still happens. That doesn't change the fact that you're going to, who knows, be doing without things you need or maybe lose loved ones in this. It doesn't change it, Melody. I wish it did, but it doesn't, does it?
Well, I've been saying for the past 3 years, whatever's going to happen is going to happen on the Biden administration. Here we are.
Well, Eric Adams, mayor of New York, warns of terror attack in New York City by lone wolves radicalized by Hamas. Even a liberal like him, a complete liberal, and I'm saying that an idiot that runs a city like New York and sees this happening. New Yorkers should not underestimate the threat from lone wolf-style terrorists who have been radicalized by Hamas online, warned New York's Mayor Eric Adams as the horror of the Israeli-Palestine conflict continues to send shockwaves around the world. Folks, these people that I'm saying the Muslims have been crossing our borders for at least two or three decades. They're here to set up what's going to happen when the time comes. They're told to do it. We will see these things happen and increase rapidly. Speaking at a press conference, the Democrat may warn the city to be on guard, saying don't underestimate lone wolves, people being radicalized online. He added that messaging social media sites where Hamas has shared horrific footage of Saturday's attack on Israel can motivate people to carry out similar attacks. Authorities in New York are paying special attention to communities of Hasidic Jews in the Big Apple while monitoring social media sites, he said. So, there you go. What's going to happen? I don't know. But the people that do this, that are going to pull this off, are already in this country. As a matter of fact, they've been training on U.S. soil, and I know that to be a fact. And the U.S. actually has to help train some of them. This is all documented. I've had it, been covering it for years ago. So they've been here for a long time. Is it time for them to act now? I don't know, Melody. But right now, the U.S. itself is sitting on a powder keg. Anything can happen anywhere in the world, but in the United States especially, because we're involved in the war against Russia. We're involved now in the war against Hamas and Gaza. We're involved in everything. We got our fingers in every pie in the world, and some people don't like that any longer. Go ahead.
Well, it is amazing what they've done to the ability to keep the markets fresh and still going. There's been no impact, but you know you have a coordinated effort across the world on all the major financial conglomerates, so to speak, and the banks and everything. So, you know, they've all come together and so forth. And, you know, it's interesting, you know, U.S. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen said on Tuesday the World Bank had made progress in reforming its operation to better address climate change. This is what these people are interested in, climate change. But she's also said other global challenges. But they still need cultural change, really, to end poverty on a livable planet. Folks, that means, to me, population elimination.
Absolutely. And we didn't get it covered.
I mean, how else can you read that in any other way?
I agree.
Because they can't end poverty. That's impossible. The only way to eliminate it is to eliminate it.
You're the people.
That's eliminating the problem. Eliminate the problem.
Wow. We're out of time.
We are. And that went by quick. And I thank you, Butch, and I thank you, listeners. And we'll be back tomorrow. So until then, be safe, good night, and God bless.
I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still, there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.